from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, you have to weigh that in, but I think he's picked it up well. You know, Chad Morton's his coach. I think his coach has done a really good job. Jennifer has been working with him on the side, too. And I think both those guys have done a really good job of partnering with Velas putting his best foot forward. And really, you see some of his explosiveness. He's explosive. He's got good lean mass. He can knock it forward. So he's done some really good things.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
It's Harris and Herron broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And that was Matt Eberflus discussing the evolution, if you will, of one Bayless Jones Jr. He had more nice things to say about Mr. Jones Jr. than I did. And had some good things to say, but I'm just like, hey, man, I seen it.
Kick rocks.
I know what it is.
Kick rocks, Bayless.
We wish you,
quote, Marshall Harris.
We wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, it's a more pleasant way to send someone packing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to tell anyone to kick rocks. We are an inclusive show here at 670 The Score. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone. And with that in mind, we now welcome in Herb Howard, Chicago Bears beat reporter from It's the Bigs. And guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Herb, it's always great to talk to you, bro. I'm just curious, are you in a kick rocks mood, or are you like, hey, Velas, we're going to make some room for you on this roster?
Yeah, I've been of the mindset that Velas has a skill set that a football team should be able to find a way to use. He's, you know, 6 foot, 215. He's got 4.3 speed. He's not a receiver. He doesn't run great routes. He doesn't track the ball very well, doesn't have natural hands. But once he does have the ball, he is a very dynamic playmaker. And I think as a football team, you should be able to find a way to use that skill set.
So how do you see the Bears striking that balance? Because there's understandable patience with a third-round pick and, you know, whatever degree. We've seen Ryan Poles at times has been willing to make hard choices and usher guys out of town. So I don't necessarily think he would hesitate to cut Velas if he thought it was what was best for this team. Is that what would be best for this team, though? Because it is a deeper and more talented roster than Velas has ever encountered at this point in his Bears career.
Yeah, I guess it would just depend on, you know, how big of a package they thought they would use him in, and if that's worth foregoing a roster spot for somebody else who may use it in a different way via special teams or whatever it is. I think you're talking about DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert getting the majority of the carries offensively anyway. Velas Jones certainly isn't your punt returner. I think he can still be a dynamic kick returner for you, but you have other guys who can also do that. I think Ryan Poles has shown himself to be more than willing to admit a mistake or admit a miss and move on. A lot of GMs are not willing to do that. He is. That being said, I just am still of the mindset that Velas Jones is a person. You can get the ball in his hands 6-7 times a game. He's likely to get you 2 or 3 explosives, and I think that's worth trying to find a roster spot for him if you can.
Okay, so you're of the mindset they should try to find room for him. With that in mind, knowing there's only 53 spots, who do you think maybe people are looking at that will be on this team that wouldn't be on this team if Velas was to be on the team?
Just looking at the position, I would look at Travis Homer. I know he's a core special teams guy, and they like him a lot, but I think there are things there. There are other place people that you can use, especially considering the new kick return rules and all those types of things. There are different body types that are now being put into play for some of those things like kickoff coverage and return. So I think that he would be a guy I would kind of look at early in the process and say, okay, do I value what he brings in the kicking game more than the potential explosives that Velus could bring? Then you look at other positions. Talk about wide receiver, and a lot of times you want to keep six. I don't know that this team needs to keep six wide receivers. They have such a wealth of riches at the top of their receiver room that I don't know they need to keep, you know, many more past Tyler Scott, and then you get into maybe a Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter conversation. I don't know that they need to keep, you know, six or seven receivers on this particular roster because the three guys at the top are so good. Plus, you got two tight ends that you want to get the ball to. You're going to throw the ball to the running back a number of times as well. So that may be a place where you can kind of trim the numbers a little bit. Maybe linebacker, they got a lot of good linebackers, but it's still only so many times they're going to be on the field. Jack Sanborn, you know, obviously he plays in the base, but they're not even in base the majority of the time. And so the guys that are behind him, while they have shown themselves to be very, very effective when they've been on the field, that may be another position that you can look at and say, oh, maybe we can play the numbers game there. So it just depends on, you know, the numerical gymnastics that Ryan Poles and his staff and Coach Eberflus and his staff kind of want to play if they think he's worth playing it.
So the Johnsons strike me as guys who have certainly shown flashes, and Colin and Roshan, and I'm not sure what to make of it because they've been just sort of absent for a lot of the preseason in game action. Where are they at physically? Is there much of a chance with either of those guys who – each of them, it would seem, would likely be bottom of the roster kind of guys if they made the active list. But beyond that, are they potential candidates for like PUP or something like that? Do you have a sense for how banged up they are?
I don't really have a sense for how banged up they are. The Bears have been notoriously secretive about injuries throughout the preseason, whether it's day-to-day, week-to-week, or what a guy may or may not be dealing with. Both those guys have missed a lot of time. Colin Johnson had the big game, obviously, with the two touchdowns. And then you haven't really seen him since then. So I don't know that you can put him on your 53. I don't know that you're able to get him to your practice squad either. He does present a bit of a different skill set than a lot of receivers. He's got that big body type that can go up and catch those 50-50 balls for you. Again, though, I mean, like, how often is he going to get on the field? So what else does he do other than play receiver? Because Keenan Allen's on the field, and DJ's on the field, and Roman's on the field, and Tyler Scott's on, like, It's fine that he's a good receiver. That's cool. That's wonderful. But there's no room for him. This is a good position to be in for the Bears. Usually the Bears are in a position where, like, hey, we got this dude that in the back end of the group that may be really, really good. He may be able to be our number two guy. The Bears are past that in the process of building the team now. They know who their top end guys are. I remember a couple years ago, they came into camp and it was like 12, 14 receivers, and we couldn't identify who the number two receiver was. Right.
We've come a long way, sir.
So we've come a long way from that kind of process. So I think it's really good that they're going to cut good players this year. The Bears are going to have guys that they cut that get signed on other teams. That doesn't usually happen around here. Usually you don't make the Bears team, you don't play in the league no more. Like, that's just it. So, you know, they've gotten to a place now where they're going to have some tough roster decisions on the back end. And the guys they cut, all of them may not clear waivers because they're probably good enough to play for somebody else.
It's wild. Like, you're really putting it in perspective when you say that. I know we're looking at the receiver, and that's one thing where we've got it stored away. We know exactly what's going to happen. Same can be said at linebacker, at defensive back. That offensive line, though, man, it's a little bit of a concern to me. Do we know where guys are right now, like, as far as health-wise? Because we've seen some people, you know, not play, and we're like, well, where are they? And even the ramp-up to get ready for a regular season. We've got the extra week these days between the end of a preseason and the start of the regular season. But how do you see things, especially with the injury to Larry Borum, even – in the last preseason game?
Yeah, that's a critical thing that happened with him. That's definitely going to impact, you know, depending on what the injury is and the length of it, that's going to impact what they do. But I think the biggest thing is Ryan Bates, right? His injury, and he's been out for a while. Like I said, we don't specifically know what he's dealing with or a timetable for his return. But even if he was healthy, right, if Nate Davis is going to be your starting right guard, just based off the fact that Ryan Bates had to spend so much time at right guard while Nate Davis was out, and then Ryan Bates himself goes out, you got to just let Coleman Shelton be the center now. I don't know that you can change that this late in the program kind of on the fly. And so I think they go what they have right now, left to right, with Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis, and Darnell Wright. And then that would leave you looking at, you know, Larry Borm as your swing tackle. He goes down yesterday. You don't know what that looks like. They did just bring up Kieran Amagaji, but he missed the entire spring and summer. I don't know that you're ready to throw him out there in a game if your tackle goes down. And so that starts to impact your numbers. And, you know, are you looking at Aviante Collins? Are you looking at Jake Curran? Like what other guys will get an opportunity depending on what that Larry Borm injury looks like? And so I think you start to get really, really concerned about their depth at offensive tackle specifically. I know we came into this whole process talking about what the interior of that offensive line looks like, but if Ryan Bates is going to be okay, then they have some decent depth on the interior. They got four guys that you feel okay with for those three spots. I don't know that they have three guys in terms of tackles, including a swing, that you feel comfortable with, especially if Larry Borm isn't available.
And just some quick breaking news here. Breaking news on 670 The Score, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Just a few minutes ago, Maddie Lee of the Sun-Times tweeted out that David Bodie of the Cubs has been designated for assignment to make room on the 40-man roster. They claim right-handed pitcher Gavin Hollowell from Arizona and option him to AAA Iowa. That according to Maddie Lee of the Sun-Times. And Herb, the way that some of the very pointed questions that you end up getting to ask with you and the collective media there of Matt Eberflus, I always loved the perspective that you're able to sort of weave into your question when you're talking to Flus about that. And when you're asking him about Caleb and the development of Caleb Williams, I'm always intrigued by some of that back and forth that you have with Flus. What's your impression, you know, whether it is things that Matt Eberflus has directly said to you or what you read into the way he's described the development to this point of Caleb Williams? How far along do you feel like the Bears believe their rookie quarterback is?
I think they think he's either right on track or slightly above where they thought he would be at this point in time. I think they've been very, very impressed with all the intangibles, right? His leadership ability, his work ethic, his desire to get better on a daily basis, his willingness to take on coaching, to ask questions, to want to improve and not make the same mistakes more than once. So I think they've been very, very impressed with that. And then you look at what he's doing out on the field. I think he's been impressive there, too. All the things that you heard about him being able to do, at some point you've seen him do that. You've seen the poise in the pocket. You've certainly seen the ability to make the plays out on the edge and throw with accuracy on the move. You've seen him use his athleticism to pick up a first down. You've seen all these types of things that he's able to do in terms of his actual arm talent. And then the intangibles are there as well. So I think they really, really are genuinely pleased with his progress. Now, how are they going to go about approaching that as they get into the season? Do they try to put the weight of this offense on his shoulder? I don't think that would be the wise thing to do super early. Now, he, again, may continue to show that he's ahead of the curve and that he's ready to take on that challenge, but I would let that be a slow process. They should be able to run the ball effectively. They've seemed to have a really good feel for the play-action game throughout the preseason. They've been using those bootlegs and counters and things like that. So I think they've been doing those things at a really, really high level, and I think they should continue to do those things, at least early on. And then if he's able to handle those things, then fine. You want to let him throw it 40, 45 times, open it up a little later. But early on, I say, lean on that defense, lean on the running game, and allow him to make the plays when he needs to, but don't force him to.
We're all paying attention to that offense, right? Because Caleb Williams, at the end of the day, that's the biggest question mark slash this is what we need to come to full fruition, whether that takes a season, a couple of seasons, whatever. There's a lot of confidence right now around town about Caleb Williams. The same really hasn't been said about the defensive line, although a move today could change the way people feel about that, including the Bears themselves. They go out and they get Daryl Taylor, a linebacker from the Seahawks, to help that pass rush. How do you see this move, and how much do you think it will help the Bears in their attempts to get to the opposing quarterback?
I guess I'll go all cliche on it, right? You can't ever have enough pass rushes, am I right? Like you need more, right? This is a guy who's got 21 and a half sacks over the last 3 years, so that's some legitimate production right there. Certainly the Bears needed help. They obviously tried to go after Judon. That did not work out. And so they kind of pivot to maybe their, you know, option B or whatever it may be. But I think that there's a guy who can come in and help you in those passing situations, right? We know we're going to kick DeMarcus Walker inside on third and obvious. And then you got to bring in somebody else to play the other side. I've been very impressed with what we've seen from Austin Booker so far, but we're still talking about a fifth-round rookie who's got to acclimate himself to the NFL level and is trying to find some different moves. He's shown some counter moves, too. I've been impressed with Austin Booker. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't super like, a lot of people were like super excited out the gate. I'm like, every year we do this about a fifth round pick.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
We did it about Dominique Robinson,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, we did it about Dominique Robinson. It goes back to like Roy Robertson, Harris, and yeah. Travis Gibbs. It's just what we do. But I'll tell you what, he has been impressive, and you do see some of the counter moves. He's got a spin move. You see his hand placement. So I've been impressed with him. That being said, I still think they needed to add something to that room. And there's a lot of talk about could they find guys off the street and Yannick and other guys. And you know, you talk about this point of year where 90-man rosters, 32 teams. Anybody that's on the street right now isn't all that likely to, one, either be healthy or be able to help you. So I think they went out and did what they thought they needed to do to add to that room. I don't know that he's going to be the savior, but what you're hoping is that there's a collective group of guys that can be better than their individual parts. And so to take advantage of the one-on-ones that you are afforded by playing opposite Montez Sweat.
Listen, I see you as a guy who's in the know because you're over there every day. I just have to know, have you given a win total prediction yet?
I have not, but I recently moved the needle in my head just a little bit.
Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, I was right around 10-7 for most of the summer. I look at their schedule and I feel like those first 9 games is where they should be able to make some hay. They should be able to start early and get out to at least 6-3 record. And then that last 8 games, really, really tough. All 6 of your division games, you go to San Francisco, you get Seattle coming in here. And so if you can go 6-3 on those first 9, then those back 8, you can go 4-4 and still get yourself to 10 wins is what I was kind of thinking. I still feel that way, but I actually feel a little bit better than that. I feel like they may be able to get another win either to get themselves to 7-2 or maybe have a 5-3 on the back end. And so maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Wait,
a little bit.
Did you say 7-2 or 5-3 on the back end? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think they could potentially get to 7-2 on those first 9 or perhaps get to 5-3 on the back 8.
So maybe like a 12-win team.
I'm not a mathematician, but I could add 7-5.
I'm at 11-6, so I'm not saying they're going to do both. I'm saying they can do either one.
Okay, right? I got you.
I'm not going to give them an extra game on each half.
Yeah, at first I thought you were saying 12-5, and I was like, whoa.
No, that's why I just moved the needle just a little bit, just one game. So right now I'm at 11-6. I think this can be an 11-win team. Now, you got to talk about health, and you're obviously going to talk about the continued development of Caleb Williams. But as I look at this defense first, right, I know the offense is the sexy conversation and Keenan Allen and Rome and Caleb. But, man, this defense can be legit. Now, they got to stay healthy, and Javon Dexter has to be who we hope he can be. But if he is
– top 5?
Listen, man – I think so, right? Oh. I think they're that good. I think the back 7 is bananas, man. You've seen Kyler Gordon miss damn near the whole summer. He comes back and just dominates.
Out of a cannon.
Games.
Came back
all
out of a cannon.
All over the field. It's like, bro, do you know you've been out for like a month?
Like chill, man. Just chill.
Chill, like for real. So you hope Jaquan can have a similar return from his little hiatus or whatever, but I just look at that defense, and the level that Jalen Johnson is playing at right now affords them the opportunity to play a myriad of coverages, disguise some things, lean the coverage certain ways, bring some blitzes. Because right now, even when Joe Burrow and Cincinnati came to Hallis Hall, nobody's looking at Jalen Johnson. They're not targeting him, man. The Bears put up a video after that joint practice of Jalen Johnson, defending their receiver. And I think it's about 4 or 5 passes. That was all he saw. Like, it wasn't nothing other than that. That was his whole entire day right there, those 4 or 5 passes, and he had, like, 3 PBUs and the other 2 were incompletions. Like, it just – he is playing at such a level right now. And so you look at him and Montez Sweat, they've got playmakers at every single level of this defense. If they can stay healthy and just get a little bit from that other end, develop some of these younger guys and talk about Javon or Austin or whomever it's going to be – I think this defense can be really, really good. They're going to keep this offense in every single game. And this offense should be good enough to make enough plays to take advantage of it. And they're going to have short fields too, because Torrey Taylor is a weapon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Herb Howard is getting us lathered up on a Friday afternoon.
Man. Serious, man.
There's no game this weekend. And I'm just like, maybe Herb is convincing me that I should move my needle as well.
Yeah, right.
But, Herb. I can't wait till the next time we talk, because I'm definitely bringing up this back end of the conversation right here. But we really appreciate you joining us on 670 The Score, man.
Absolute pleasure, man. Great to see y'all up there.
All right, thanks, Herb.
So Herb Howard coming in talking about possibly
11-12 wins.
11-12. He at first I thought he was saying 12-5, and I was like, whoa. And then he dialed
it back. Wasn't far off.
Yeah, yeah, he's only one. But
11-6.
We could talk about this. We got a couple more hours to talk about things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, we got the conversation about the quarterbacks around the league, especially the youth is being served right now with some of the rookies that are going to be starting in this sport, but also biggest concern, because there's a lot of positivity, and Herb just stoked those flames. I know the Bears fans listening on the Odyssey app are driving around right now. They heard that. It was music to a lot of folks' ears, but it's an imperfect roster still, even at this point.
See, there you go, bringing reality back into the fold. You know, that's okay. That's what we're here to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our Bears conversation. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron, hanging out with you. Score Afternoons here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What's your guilty pleasure?
What's your guilty pleasure song?
It might be Pony. That might be my guilty pleasure song.
I'm just a bachelor. Looking for a partner. Someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. I think we're all looking for a quarterback who knows how to do his thing without falling off. But Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was old enough to know about Pony. Is that, am I being ageist there?
Slightly, but I think that, some of the open performances that have been on Hard Knocks with the guys doing their song and dance routine in front of the squad with the rookies up there performing. It's been nice. Been good to see them kind of showing some of their personality.
That's like, that just lets me know Caleb Williams has good home training.
Mm.
Pony came out in 1996. He was not on this earth in 1996, yeah, but he knows about Pony.
Right.
So I'm with that. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron hanging out.
He is all into Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, because you're a good parent.
I try to be.
You
man.
Play the classics.
Try to have a positive influence. I'm an offspring. You know, that's how I made my wife get down.
I saw this thing online the other day. It was high school kids, and I had to remember how old high school kids are, but they were like 16, 17 years old, and they were like, you know, the old question is like, where was Usher at 7 o'clock? And it's, you know, he was in his drop top cruising the streets. And like a lot of people don't know that, right? Because the age thing is real. So the question for these, the question for these high school girls was, who was Outkast sorry to?
Oh, okay.
And they did not know who Outkast was. And that made me
didn't
sad.
Know who Outkast was.
Didn't know who Outkast. There was one girl at the very end that they knew it was Miss Jackson.
Wow.
And so I was. Yeah.
That hurts.
It hurt a lot. So for Caleb Williams to be out here saying Pony is his thing,
right?
That is a revelation, and I'm happy for it. And like, you know,
do you have a guilty pleasure song? Well, everybody has.
Not
a
that I can say
song.
On this air. Yeah, it's
oh,
like
really?
it's an older. It's an older song.
Right.
You remember a group called Two Live Crew?
I do. Okay. Yes, sir.
So, yeah.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Viewers and listeners of all ages. You know, we're on the Twitch and everything else. Like, but yeah, I do. What's yours?
Mine is the entire original Space Jam soundtrack. Just everything with Bugs Bunny.
You play
Bunny.
That thing, no skips?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to think if there was it, but there was one like, hit him high. Like, they had all the legit rappers were on there, but then it was like they'd add Daffy Duck into it here and there, that type of thing.
I don't know that I've heard this.
LL was out there, insane, like a runaway train. Like, they had, you know, everybody was on it, but it just happened to be in this cartoon movie.
LL just dropped a song like, a couple of weeks ago.
Did he?
Yeah, with the video and everything. I was like, okay. I thought he was. I thought we were doing something else, LL. But you're still, right. You're still out here showing.
I thought you were just like entertainer, like kind of, you know, TV host,
the Ice Cube, actor. Ice T level actors finding your little primetime drama on network television. But, you know, Hard Knocks has not been that much drama. It's easy to do that because you're undefeated. Everything's good. Only a couple of injuries. You're going to have a couple. But Caleb Williams, he seems like he's ready to go. And I know as a fan base, the city of Chicago is ready to see what he has. And he's not the only rookie quarterback doing things right now, because you can look up and down. He was the number one overall pick. Right behind him, Jaden Daniels. And now a guy named Bo, not Jackson, is going to be the starter in Denver. And there was a lot of shade thrown at the former quarterback when that announcement was made, Bo Nix. So how do you like this rookie class, and how anticipatory should we be in seeing how these young guys do as rookies?
They're different. You know, they're stylistically different between Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, what they bring to the table. You know, I was talking about it a good bit before the draft. Caleb is certainly my favorite out of the group, but stylistically, he's a guy who has the highest ceiling out of any of the three of them. But I was even mentioning this last night in pregame coverage we did over on Fox 32 that between Caleb and Jaden Daniels, Jaden's game is more mature. There was a lot of discussion about the maturity of Caleb Williams off the field coming into the draft, and a lot of concerns about, you know, just things that didn't really matter and certainly didn't concern me. His maturity as a person, everyone I talked to, I was really confident about that aspect of it, but his game needs to continue maturing to reach his peak. And he's shown plenty of flashes of that, but by comparison to a guy like Jaden Daniels, I was mentioning this to Speaks the other day, the way each of them have performed up to this point in the preseason are really what I expected, where Jaden Daniels has just played more ball. He's just been on the field, starting games, been in more high-level competitive scenarios, playing real quarterback, playing true quarterback, and not, you know, sort of relying on a lot of those physical traits as frequently. And so his game just looks more refined from within the pocket and behind center, being on time and in rhythm. He just looks different. He executes the position differently than Caleb does right now. It doesn't mean the way that Caleb is executing the position can't lead the Bears to victory, but by comparison to Jaden Daniels, Jaden is just an older, more mature, more refined quarterback in his game. Caleb is a guy who I believe he'll get there, and every opportunity to step onto the field is a part of what will lead Caleb Williams there. That's a part of where I was hopeful. I didn't expect Caleb to play last night. I didn't expect Bears starters to see the field in their fourth and final preseason game.
You knew
game.
What it was.
I knew what it was, but I was hopeful. If it were me, that's a choice I would have made. That's the decision I would have made to say, go out there and just get a couple of series, just to continue to stay locked in that muscle memory that you want to continue to sort of nourish, because when the regular season comes, you got to be ready from game one, as ready as you can be.
Is that opinion of yours, is it heightened because there is the extra week off between the preseason and the regular season? Now it's going to be 3 weeks since he's been on the football field and live game action.
That's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a part of it, because you do want to stay as sharp as you can, and it's just difficult to stay sharp in practice. Once you get to the latter stages of the preseason games, you have that lag time between the final preseason game and actually starting up the regular season. It's hard to maintain that edge that you want. What we saw from the Bears secondary, the way they run out there and just light people up, and the way that we saw them against the Bengals on the practice field with Jalen Johnson. We were just talking to Herb Howard about it. Jalen Johnson out there shutting down the entire receiver corps from Cincinnati. It's hard to keep that fever pitch in competition against your teammates, while at this point, the main goal for the players, at least between now and the game, is to be healthy. You want to be as healthy as you can between now and the start of the regular season, and then go out there and lay it on the line. But you don't want to be on the practice field and step on your teammate's foot. You want to be on the practice field and you're hacking away at a football, trying to get a pass deflection, and you dislocate your teammate's finger. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to do that. And so between now and then, yes, you do want to put them in competitive scenarios. You want to get these game situations as fine-tuned as you can, but it's tough to keep that same edge, that same sharpness as what you maybe could have gotten if you at least had them prepare to take the field last night, and maybe not everybody, but get the starting offense. If you sit Jalen Johnson and that entire magnificent secondary down last night, Montez Sweat doesn't need to sniff the field. But you put Caleb and that starting O-line and
Rome.
A couple of good receivers. Yeah, put Rome out there with him too. And just say, give me a series or two just so not only what happens in the game, but the preparation leading up to it where mentally you have to be locked in a different way when you're practicing and preparing to take the field in a game than you do when you just know I'm going to have that night off. It's just different.
I think for me, just watching it go down, I agree with you. It's not even about like, oh, he got 40-some-odd snaps in the preseason. I just want to be as prepared as possible heading into the regular season. And here's the reason why. The Bears have to be prepared going into the regular season because they know, by and large, obviously Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, some other guys weren't on this team last year.
Yeah.
But they understand how important the start is because they remember how good it felt on the back end of last season, and it left them saying, what if we had won half those four games that we lost out of the gate a season ago? So I think from that standpoint, they don't have time now. There's no buffer. It's like you've got to come out
because if you lay
an egg against the Tennessee Titans at home in week one, you know what that's setting you up for? Going up against C.J. Stroud and them's on the road?
Right. Right.
It can easily be a trip.
The biggest show in television. Yep.
So for me, I just was like, if we could just keep them as fresh as possible and, as you said, prepared as possible, I think that would pay off in big dividends for the Bears, because to me, I know people are saying, well, there's no division games at the start of the season. Well, I know how hard it's going to be on the back end.
The voice that's saying it in too. There's no division games at the start of the season.
Different people have said it in different tones. But you understand, like, a division game is more important than a non-division game.
Uh-huh.
The mention of Seahawks and Niners is your other games in the last eight, besides the six division games.
Right.
Bro, you got to win out the gate. You can't be 1-3.
The 0-4, the 1-5 from last year, that's not going to fly this season.
If it happens, people are going to be upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that they weren't upset last year, but it was different. Because now you've got the quarterback. You've got the offense. You have to ask yourself, why aren't we winning these games? You've got better personnel. Mm-hmm. You've got a defense you told me could be top 5, if not top 10, maybe could strive to be a top 5 defense.
Yeah.
So what's the problem? And then you start looking around like, well, I know one thing that's the same from last year to this year. That would be the head coach.
Yeah.
So I think Matt Eberflus, I'm not saying he's playing with fire, but he's playing a little bit right now.
I know you and I have gotten to talk about Caleb a little bit over the last few months, where, you know, just when we've been kind of either doing this together on this station or been on the phone line or whatever. How different is he than what you anticipated?
So that's the thing. I never bought into all the stuff that was the noise during the regular college football season, him crying after a game because he was I was just like, yo, I don't care if the Bears get the number one. This is before they actually had the number one pick. Once the Bears, you know, secure the number one pick through Carolina, I was like, all right, I'm going to go see what happens pro day, draft, combine. And then I was at the draft.
Yeah.
After I was at the draft, I was like, this guy's good. I'm not worried at all. We'll see what he develops in physically, like NFL. But as far as mentally, the preparation that all these athletes have these days, because with the NIL and the transfer portal and understanding they're really professionals before they get to the NFL, it's just different, man. Mm-hmm. And he was fully prepared to me. So right. I thought, this guy's going to be just fine, and you're all going to see it. And guess what? Since he got drafted, have we not just seen – what's the knock on Caleb since he got drafted?
I mean, every ounce of maturity you would hope for from a young man taking the stage he's
taking. Future franchise quarterback.
Up. Right. My main thing, I want to see his game mature. I want to see that, and I believe it will, but to the point we're talking about right now, 0-4 is not going to get it. 1-5 is not going to get it to start the season this year. And so you need him and that entire offense to be as ready as they can be to start this season out. And he can put all the prep in that he wants to, but to take the field in the preseason, there's just that extra little ounce of urgency, of preparation that goes into taking the field in those games. I would have liked to have seen that other opportunity. I'm not going to hammer, Flus, Poles, anybody else and make that choice, because there is a cost-benefit analysis. If Caleb goes out there and hits his finger on somebody's helmet because some pass rusher, you know, Bull versus Coleman Shelton,
some
back
guy trying to make the team desperately.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that risk that goes into it. So I get it. I understand and empathize with the position and the decision they end up making. But he will benefit from reps. He will benefit from time on task. And in 43, whatever it was, preseason snaps, I would have liked to have seen more. By comparison, the refinement in the game of Jaden Daniels, that shows up a lot. Now, he isn't surrounded by the talent Caleb's going to have this season, but that was a comparison I was making with Spiegs earlier in the day, earlier in the week, excuse me. I think between the two, you see the maturity of one guy's game over where Caleb is in his. Caleb is going to surpass Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, but he just hasn't played as much ball yet. So as far as the pure mechanics of playing quarterback, Caleb isn't on the level that Jaden is yet, but now as an improvisational wizard, Caleb is beyond most humans we've seen play the position.
It's so funny to hear you say that because you're not the only one comparing those two quarterbacks and coming up with the same conclusion. Maybe not exactly the same, but close enough that you're going to really want to hear, if you haven't already, what Sean King, and I know you haven't, former quarterback.
I haven't heard it yet.
No. Former quarterback's coach, Sean King,
that's
has
my guy,
to say
though.
About this.
Yeah, I used to work with Sean.
Guess what? We're going to hear from Sean King on the other side. It's Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron here on 670 The Score. We are back. Harris and Heron. Yeah. Go ahead. Give it to me. Heron's he's done. Some of us are on key. Some of us are off key. I will be the off key half of this broadcast.
Yeah. My issue is I don't know the lyrics to a bunch of stuff.
Oh, so you can give me like the tone, but you can't give me the words. Say What Karaoke was not your show.
Well, I mean, you have the lyrics in front of you on the screen, you know, when you're doing Karaoke. That helps me out quite a bit.
Okay.
But, you know, if it's just remember all the words, finish the lyric, Beat Shazam. I auditioned for Beat Shazam a few years ago. They were first getting ready to launch that show. And they reached out to a few like football players who they kind of knew did some entertainment type stuff. And audition went well. They were trying to get me and one of my old teammates to like do a tandem thing on the show together. And actually, I remember it was one of the drafts. I was even in the media workroom at the draft, kind of like texting back and forth before Beat Shazam premiered on Fox. But the fact that I worked with the Big Ten Network and worked with Fox 32, then in the end, it's like, oh, well, you know, like we really want you and your guy to be on the show. But since you already are employed within kind of the Fox family.
I don't think that would help you.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to not put contestants on the show.
Oh, because you were competing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like call
right,
the hotline
like,
here.
Yeah,
to win
like here's
digits.
A chance to win some money kind of thing. Yeah. But you're actually in the family. Okay, so it ended up being something I couldn't do. But yeah.
I'll keep you in mind the next karaoke night that I don't host because I'm telling you, I'm bad.
Now, if you do like a private room, though, have you done like
to
Koreatown, China? Okay.
Yeah,
right,
I'm just not good. You're not listening.
Oh, that's
I'm
fine.
Not good.
Neither is Roma Dunze, but I mean, his team loved him. That's the thing. You just got to surround yourself with love.
As long as you're having fun.
Exactly.
As long as you're having fun.
That's all it comes down to, man. Just have a good time. Go out there, do your thing.
I have been impressed by the talent show at the Hard Knocks overall. Like I think those guys did a pretty good job.
I mean, is that kind of the second groove, the next vibe for you? I mean, the next chapter. I mean, beyond doing Harris and Heron, but I know you like to stay busy. You like to stay busy.
I'll stay busy in more productive ways.
Okay.
How about
okay.
that?
Okay.
I'm good with making fun of myself. You know, but to be pointed at and laughed at that long, that hard. Not my idea of a good time, but you know what? I'm open to criticism, as we all are.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams knows he's been open to criticism his whole life, right?
Right.
Ever since he became like a top-level player.
Mm-hmm.
We had Sean King was on the Midday Show with, I think it was Lawrence, Layla, and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some interesting things to say about Caleb Williams and kind of where he evaluates him right now.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape, and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports for I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do was dunk. He was magnificent now. He was on the highlights all the time, but all he could really do was dunk. Now look at him fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
Well, if you don't trust his ability right now to get it out on time from the pocket, that means people are going to have to probably downgrade their Bears expectations.
Oh, yeah, y'all are delusional. Like, y'all are on Cowboy fan base delusion level. Every Bear fan I talk to, they're talking NFC championship. They're talking double-digit win season. For context, I have the Bears going 7-10 because I'm more of a realistic person. I think they're a better overall team from a talent standpoint, but I do think they have some pieces. They got to figure out how they fit. They've got some young players who are going to take time to develop. The division is a lot tougher than it has been. Green Bay and Detroit looking like they're both capable of being Super Bowl teams, and Minnesota having everything but probably consistency at quarterback. So I think when you put all those things together, I think the expectations are high, but hey, I'm not going to rain on the Bears parade. I get the energy of the last decade and how they're starving, but it is Cowboy delusional.
Wow, Cowboy delusional. Okay. You know what he is? You're having a good dream at night, and then all of a sudden somebody, they don't, you know, the alarm doesn't go off. Someone doesn't come in and just, you know, tap you to wake you up. They throw a bucket of cold water on you. That's what that man just did. Cowboy delusional. Do you know how delusional Cowboys fans are?
Oh, they're out there. They're out there every year. Way, way out there.
What do you make
every
of
year,
what he said?
It's their year.
It's
every year. Respect to Jerry Jones, because every year he's going for it. I give him that, because at least you can say that. He's never in a let's tear it down, accumulate more draft capital mode. The Cowboys are going for it every year. So I would give that to Jerry Jones. But Cowboys fans, yes, completely delusional in a variety of ways. Sean went harder than I would go with it. I wouldn't say Caleb struggles to see the field or read the field from within the pocket. But Jaden Daniels is definitely more advanced in that regard than he is. Caleb has actually been even better in that regard than I thought perhaps he would be just in his first preseason in the NFL. Caleb hasn't showcased to me that he's hunting for those improvisational moments, but it's where he's been seemingly most comfortable. It's what got him out of those first three and outs that he had the other day. You know, I see folks on the Twitch chat at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I see folks twitching about Caitlin Clark and stuff. Actually, that was just coming up with, I don't know, they were chatting about Wheaties for some odd reason. I didn't check the whole Twitch stream there. But Tory Taylor was making fun of Caleb during the game the other day. You might have seen that on Hard Knocks.
Did.
Just say, hey, I thought you texted me about what's with the three and outs. I thought you said I wasn't going to punt. Now, that I don't do a good Australian accent. So Tory Taylor sounded cooler than me when he said it. But he made fun of Caleb because they had three and out. Here's Tory Taylor. And where Caleb and the Bears offense got out of that was when he got to the point where he started to improvise, started to extend the play, started to fire the ball down the field to Rome off script. He's looked at his best and at his most comfortable in doing that. But I wouldn't say he is struggling or he's well behind in general where you would expect a rookie quarterback to be in seeing the field. But I do think I do believe Jaden Daniels is more advanced than him in that regard. But it makes sense. It's unsurprising. But I do like the way that Caleb is attempting to play the game, attempting to see the field early. And he's not going out of his way to start running all over the place and trying to do things that are beyond the structure of the play. So I like what I've seen from Caleb, but I'm unsurprised that he's not as developed as Jaden just in the structure of the offense.
Yeah, 23-year-old Jaden Daniels is a different level right now, but there's time to catch up.
Yep.
You know, we've been listening to our inside thoughts about this. I think we need some outside perspective. So when we come back, we're going to have Charles Davis from the NFL on CBS and NFL Network. He'll give us his thoughts on how delusional Bears fans are and if it matches Cowboy fan delusion, and about Caleb Williams and everything else Bears. We'll see how this goes. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron, right with you here on Score Afternoon, 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are back. Harris and Heron. Yeah. Go ahead, give it to me. Heron's the, he's the... Some of us are on key, some of us are off key. I will be the off key half of this broadcast.
Yeah. My issue is I don't know the lyrics to a bunch of stuff.
Oh, so you can give me like the tone, but you can't give me the words. Say What Karaoke was not your show.
Well, I mean, you have the lyrics in front of you on the screen, you know, when you're doing Karaoke. That helps me out quite a bit.
Okay.
But, you know, if it's just remember all the words, finish the lyric, beat Shazam. I auditioned for Beat Shazam a few years ago when they were first getting ready to launch that show. And they reached out to a few like football players who they kind of knew did some entertainment type stuff. And audition went well. They were trying to get me and one of my old teammates to like do a tandem thing on the show together. And actually, I remember it was one of the drafts. I was even in the media workroom at the draft, kind of like texting back and forth before Beat Shazam premiered on Fox. But the fact that I worked with the Big Ten Network and worked with Fox 32, then in the end, it was like, oh, well, you know, like we really want you and you got to be on the show. But since you already are employed within kind of the Fox family,
I don't think that would help you.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to not put contestants on the show.
Oh, because you were competing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, call
right,
the hotline
like,
here.
Yeah,
to
like, here's
digits.
A chance to win some money kind of thing, but you're actually in the family. Okay, it ended up being something I couldn't do. But yeah,
I will keep you in mind the next karaoke night that I don't host because I'm telling you, I'm bad.
Now, if you do like a private room, though, have you done like go to Koreatown, China? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just not good. You're not listening.
Oh, that's
I'm
fine.
Not good.
Neither is Roma Dunze, but I mean, his team loved him. That's the thing. You just got to surround yourself with love.
As long as you're having fun.
Exactly.
As long as you're having fun.
That's all it comes down to, man. Just have a good time. Go out there and do your thing.
I have been impressed by the talent show at the Hard Knocks overall. Like that, I think those guys did a pretty good job.
I mean, is that kind of the second groove, the next vibe for you? I mean, the next chapter. I mean, beyond doing Harris and Heron, but I know you like to stay busy. You like to stay busy.
I'll stay busy in more productive ways.
Okay,
how about
that?
I'm good with you know making fun of myself. You know, but to be pointed at and laughed at that long, that hard. Not my idea of a good time, but you know what? I'm open to criticism, as we all are.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams knows he's been open to criticism his whole life, right?
Right.
Ever since he became like a top-level player.
Mm-hmm.
We had Sean King was on the Midday Show with, I think it was Lawrence, Layla, and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some interesting things to say about Caleb Williams and kind of where he evaluates him right now.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape, and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports for I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do is dunk. He was magnificent now. He was on the highlights all the time, but all he could really do is dunk. Now look at him fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
Well, if you don't trust his ability right now to get it out on time from the pocket, that means people are going to have to probably downgrade their Bears expectations.
Oh, yeah, y'all are delusional. Like, y'all are on Cowboy fan base delusion level. Every Bear fan I talk to, they're talking NFC championship. They're talking double-digit win season. For context, I have the Bears going 7-10. Because I'm more of a realistic person. I think they're a better overall team from a talent standpoint, but I do think they have some pieces. They got to figure out how they fit. They've got some young players who are going to take time to develop. The division is a lot tougher than it has been. Green Bay and Detroit looking like they're both capable of being Super Bowl teams, and Minnesota having everything but probably consistency at quarterback. So So I think when you put all those things together, I think the expectations are high. But, hey, I'm not going to rain on the Bears parade. I get the energy of the last decade and how they're starving, but it is cowboy delusional.
Wow. Cowboy delusional. Hey. You know what he is? You're having a good dream at night, and then all of a sudden somebody, they don't, you know, the alarm doesn't go off. Someone doesn't come in and just, you know, tap you to wake you up. They throw a bucket of cold water on you. That's what that man just did. Cowboy delusional. Do you know how delusional Cowboys fans are?
Oh, they're out there. They're out there every year. Way, way out there.
What do you make
every
of
year,
what he said?
It's their year.
It's
every year. Respect to Jerry Jones, because every year he's going for it. I give him that. Because at least you can say that. He's never in a let's tear it down, accumulate more draft capital mode. The Cowboys are going for it every year. So I would give that to Jerry Jones. But Cowboys fans, yes, completely delusional in a variety of ways. Sean went harder than I would go with it. I wouldn't say Caleb struggles to see the field or read the field from within the pocket. But Jayden Daniels is definitely more advanced in that regard than he is. Caleb has actually been even better in that regard than I thought perhaps he would be just in his first preseason in the NFL. Caleb hasn't showcased to me that he's hunting for those improvisational moments, but it's where he's been seemingly most comfortable. It's what got him out of those first three and outs that he had the other day. You know, I see folks on the Twitch chat at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I see folks twitching about Caitlin Clark and stuff. Actually, that was just coming up with, I don't know, they were chatting about Wheaties for some odd reason. I didn't check the whole Twitch stream there. But Tory Taylor was making fun of Caleb during the game the other day. You might have seen that on Hard Knocks.
Did.
Just say, hey, I thought you texted me about what's with the three and outs. I thought you said I wasn't going to punt. Now, that I don't do a good Australian accent. So Tory Taylor sounded cooler than me when he said it. But he made fun of Caleb because they had three and out. Here's Tory Taylor. And where Caleb and the Bears offense got out of that was when he got to the point where he started to improvise, started to extend the play, started to fire the ball down the field to roam off script. He's looked at his best and at his most comfortable in doing that. But I wouldn't say he is struggling or he's well behind in general where you would expect a rookie quarterback to be in seeing the field, but I do think Jayden Daniels, I do believe Jayden Daniels is more advanced than him in that regard, but it makes sense. It's unsurprising, but I do like the way that Caleb is attempting to play the game, attempting to see the field early, and he's not going out of his way to start running all over the place and trying to do things that are beyond the structure of the play. So I like what I've seen from Caleb, but I'm unsurprised that he's not as developed as Jayden just in the structure of the offense.
Yeah, 23-year-old Jayden Daniels, it's a different level right now, but there's time to catch up.
Yep.
You know, we've been listening to our inside thoughts about this. I think we need some outside perspective. So when we come back, we're going to have Charles Davis from the NFL on CBS and NFL Network. He'll give us his thoughts on how delusional Bears fans are and if it matches Cowboy fan delusion, and about Caleb Williams and everything else Bears. We'll see how this goes. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron, right with you here on Score Afternoon, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.